Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon. It's brand new, newly minted, bright and shiny, and I would love your support. I'm thrilled to be launching this online community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the bio to get started. Ready to dive in? Let's go. Namaste, family, and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I am joined with a yoga teacher and studio owner from Brunei. Her name is Vera, and I'm so excited to welcome her onto the show today. She teaches Hatha yoga and Vinyasa yoga and universal yoga, which I'm really excited to hear more about. She's been teaching yoga for 8 years, and even though she started teaching really locally, small groups, she then moved into a small private office space just for 3 or 4 people at a time. And then when the perfect opportunity arose, she renovated a space, which is now True Harmony in Brunei. So thank you so much, Vera, for being with us here on the show today.
Thank you, Lily. I'm happy to join your podcast as well.
Wonderful. So how did you first hear about yoga, or how did yoga come into your life?
Actually, when I was so much younger, as a teenager, I love to stretch my body. And when I'm looking at the face of a yogi that looks so calm and serene, that's why I fell in love with yoga. But at that time, I think yoga was like a form of stretch and just to calm and relax myself. Actually, it's my cousin. She sees me like stretching all the time. Then she told me like, oh, maybe I have a DVD. It's a beginner yoga. Maybe I'll share it with you. Then you can learn something from there. Then I just started from there. And after that, when I was graduated from my university, then my body is weak because I'm having some gastric problems. I always feel bloated. But then I realized that if I focus on my breath, it really is like overcoming my bloating. My cousin told me like, maybe you should get deeper into yoga or just invest yourself going to a studio so there's an instructor. She could teach you how to do like correct prana and just do correct yoga. Then I was like, yeah, maybe I can just try it out, because at that time I just watched YouTube to learn all the yoga poses. I am really lucky because when I went to my first studio, I fell in love with the teacher, and from there I just continue with my journey into yoga. Then I've been practicing at her studio at around 2 to 3 months. But then after that, I realized that my job is not my dream job. So I quit my jobs. And then I was thinking like, maybe it's time for me to take a retreat just to reset my life, maybe thinking another new path or journey to start. So I was like, okay, maybe I could just search in Google and looking for a place to just relax, a retreat. Then I realized I searched a place called Vikasa Yoga. It is a very beautiful place in Koh Samui. The retreat was quite expensive. It's around US 2000 plus. It's very similar to the price of yoga teacher training. So my sister told me, since you quit your job, then maybe you can try maybe teaching a yoga. I was like, yeah, that's a great idea since I doesn't have any plan. So I was like, okay, I'll just take up that courses. After I came back from the training, I feel really good, like just a fresh start. Maybe I can choose yoga as a path. That's how I started it.
Oh, so cool. I love that your sister has given you such great advice.
Yeah.
She sounds like a great sister. We all need someone looking out for us like that.
Yeah. Actually, I have four sisters.
Oh, were all of your sisters giving you good advice, or was it one in particular?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Great. I also would love to know, what is it like to own a yoga studio in Brunei? How's that going?
Oh, yeah. To be honest, because I was not intent to teach yoga in the beginning, I just rent a space or just teach in a local studio. But at that time, I was looking for other studios. I remember went to one local studio. The teacher doesn't look very welcoming. So I feel like, okay, maybe this is not my space. Went back and talked with my parents. Then my parents like, okay, maybe we need to look for another space for you. You can teach like in your own space rather than sharing or teach with other teacher. So they are like, okay, we managed to look for that space and renovated that area. So it was really small at first. My studio now is bigger than my previous. At first, the space is really small, can fit around like maybe just 10 people, but I'm glad my mom and dad helps me in looking for that space.
Oh, that's great. And are a lot of people coming to yoga, or more doctors recommending, oh, you should go to yoga for stress or insomnia, or is it a lot of young people? What have you noticed about yoga, the popularity of yoga in Brunei?
Oh, at first when I started, actually, my teacher's yoga studio is just beside me. My first teacher, she's very kind because she's pregnant at that time. So she's been introducing her old student, so referring to me and some of the teachers. So that time when I started to teach, there was not a lot of people, maybe 3 to 4 people. Yeah, because I just came back. So they also tried out whether they love my teaching style or not. But at first, there was not a lot of people. Like, I started slowly, like maybe at 3 to 4. And then slowly it becomes a little bit more people as they bring out their friends if they love the class. Sometimes I teach private groups as well because they love group, so they don't mix up with other people. They have their own space. So slowly peoples bring peoples, and that's how I continued with the journey. Yes.
Wonderful. And so since you've had such a good journey, an interesting journey with being able to go to Thailand and do your trainings, and then I know you've done so many more trainings and workshops. Oh my gosh, Vera, it was amazing reading, you know, that you've gone to study even with Kino McGregor and Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, you've traveled all over. I really would love to hear in particular about your teacher training in universal yoga. That was something I hadn't heard of before. Could you tell our listeners more about that?
Yes. Actually, I took universal yoga. It was like 2 years ago before COVID shut down. It was in 2019. Actually, it came from my friend, Edita. She took the Vikasa yoga training, my first yoga training. We meet each other there. She told me that she went to universal yoga training continuously for 3 to 4 years. She just took the same training because she told me, like, after she take a universal yoga training, other training doesn't interest her anymore, because she explained to me there's a lot of philosophy and a lot of things she learned from it. So she told me it's a very interesting training. And since, because personally, I am a Buddhism myself, I study scriptures from Buddhism, and sometimes I heard a lot of advices from the monks. And she told me that the way my philosopher is quite similar with the teacher, Andrea Lapa. He teaches universal yoga. So she told me, like, maybe it's time for you to meet up with this teacher. So you can see whether you like him or not. Then I was like, maybe I could give it a try. So I went to the training like 2 years ago. Then I was so shocked because the thing he mentioned and the things I knew came to like really falls together. The way he was saying like compassion, like yogi need to be compassion, because first thing in yoga moral, we said ahimsa, like not harming any animals. And at the age of 16, because there was a CD, I look at it, they told me that it's very cruel. It's showing like how animals kill in the farm and how people's mistreated animals and how farm animals were being tortured before they are bringing out to the plate. So I was like, yeah, I was looking at the video then. At that time, I was crying because it was really cruel. Then I give myself a vow. I was that I would never eat animals in my plate anymore. Since from then, I've become a vegetarian. Yeah, part of me become a vegetarian is because of Buddhism as well. So from that time, when Andrea Lapa told me that a yogi have to be compassion, I was like, yeah, it should be like that. Like even in Buddhism, we also need to be compassion. So I was like, that really touches my heart. And it really changes my body and changes my mind as well. Because at that training, we did some pranayama. And basically, Andrea, his sequence in universal yoga is quite unique. It's very scientifically, he's using scientific methods like how the joints was turning, how the muscles is stretched. And at the beginning of the sequences, he uses simple sequence. At the end, he will use more complicated sequence to mix up and to really let your body feels more. After that training, I feel like I become really more calm, more knowledgeable. And it really changed a lot in my diet, my body, mentally, physically. And starting from there, when I brought back to my studio to teach, and I realized that students having the same feeling as well, they told me that universal yoga really comes from within. After they completed the yoga class, they feel really calm inside. Their energy field balance. So actually, from Andrea, he has four rules of universal yoga. Is to always be awake and conscious. And I think the principle of universal yoga is like that. Because during the practice, everyone has to be focused on their own. Sometimes holding in the posture, we just need to close our eyes, breathing, and then you can go internally. Then I love that when he told us that universal yoga is like karmically free to follow your own karma and not that of your teacher. If you copy your teacher, you will repeat your teacher's karma. We just have to work on our own style, our teaching styles. And then a lot of people who practice yoga, they didn't go so deep. They just maybe want to be healthy, want to have a nice, long, lean body. But universal yoga, like, it goes inside. Like, we have a conception of the Maya Kosha. We have different body of different shells and layers of body. Like, we have this outer side shell, and then we have the internal shells, like the energy, the prana, which is, it practice, the practice goes inside different layers from the shell. It's not just the outer layers. And the fourth rules is like you're using the goal of yoga, like unification, balance, and control to spread the unity, balance, and control to each shells. And I really feel that logic really brings me to back to the origin of yoga. Like sometimes like you've been saying, I've been practicing for 8 years. If I'm doing flow every day, it will be really bored. Like I always came up with ideas like how should I practice. But after I came back from universal yoga, I don't really need to go to other trainings anymore. You just focus on the simple things and focus on the system. Then you always would bring back to where you are from the beginning.
Wow. It's amazing to hear how universal yoga is always about being awake and conscious, and how you describe that it comes from within. But at the same time, you, at the very beginning, you described it as being like very scientific or anatomical in its approach. Is that how, I'm curious about how it does both, to be so like karmic and energetic and at the same time so sciencey and anatomically based. Can you talk a little more?
Actually, the scientific base is based on our body. I just give a simple example, like our shoulders, we have, where can we move? Usually in a yoga classes, like normal vinyasa classes, we rarely did stretches around our shoulder joint. We did a lot of vinyasas, a lot of chaturanga and all those stuff, but we rarely do the shoulder joint stretches. As you extend your arms in out towards the side, you're doing the external rotation of your shoulder joint. Then as you bring your arms in, you internally rotate the shoulders in. We have these two stretches. Then your hands as well, if you are doing the downward dog stretches, two arms down, you're doing a longitudinal backward. Then when you change it to a rack pose where you are in a seated position, then two arms extend back, it changes in that arm stretches as well. So instead of shoulder joint, we have the elbows as well. If you bend the elbows, there's another stretch. So you extend your arms, external rotation, then you can bend your arm, external rotation. The stretch feels different again. So it's very fun. And one more thing is like why we are stretching the joints is because there's a lot of, Mama's point is like the energetic point in our body, which connects to our chakra. Our chakra is the main energy systems. So all this joint, all the Mama's point is around the joint. You can really feel the energy inside the body. It's such a unique type of way to train the body and to let people be more aware of the energy, because we couldn't see energy. You can only feel it in your body. So when I was saying like why Andrew was saying that he's using scientific method is he's using anatomical method, a safe way than to approach yoga than to go deep into the body, which is, he's a very clever man. Yeah, he's an engineer. He always told us his story like he's an engineer. So everything he studied is he need to tell you longitudinal, like 180 degrees, 90 degrees, all this type of words. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's very specific. And then at the same time, you're mentioning the koshas and marma points and the chakra system. So clearly it's engaging and involving all of the ancient wisdom of and traditions of yoga as well. And like, how, what an amazing and beautiful thing. So exciting to hear about this.
Yeah, I'm regretting because actually it took 300 hours to complete the training at that time because I'm having another plan with my family. So I couldn't finish up the last 100 hours. The 100 hours is going like internally. Like you don't do yoga anymore. It's all about pranayama and meditation. Then it was like, okay, just listen to him. Then he guided us in the pranayama, like long haul breath, retention breath. There are a lot of different pranayama which I've never encountered. So we just follow what he was saying. To my surprise, at the end of the pranayama, my mind was like complete silence. Like I've never done this before. Like complete silence. There's no sound of my mind. I could hear myself so clearly. So I was so shocked. Wow, it really stops the time and stops my mind. I was like, ah, okay, too bad I couldn't join the last part of the training.
Oh, wow, I love that when everything goes still and all time is lost. It's rare. It is very rare. And if for me, and I think for the average yoga practitioner to achieve that state, and it's just such a blissful experience. And it I'm so glad that you've brought it up. It's a special thing to share.
Yeah.
And I'd love also, Vera, to know too, I just would love to hear your personal definition of yoga. What does yoga mean to you?
For me, yoga, it's a union of our mind, our breath, and our body. So every time I step on the mat, I feel like I'm connected with the space around me, even like myself. Like our minds usually, like, it starts to flow everywhere whenever we are not aware. But when I'm step on the mat doing the yoga practice, the breath really brings me back to the present moment, and the asana really connects with my body. Usually I practice yoga like most of the time, like every day. Like my mom and sister, whenever they saw me practice yoga, it's, oh, we feel so tiring looking at you, like sweating and being so disciplined to practice every day. But I told my mom, if I didn't practice, I feel like my life, it's not centered. It's like moving away. Like whenever there's a social media, there's news, my mind, everything is scattered around. It's like bringing me to all around. But when I'm back to yoga or when I'm back to pranayama, I feel like I'm connected with myself. My mind is not scattered around or being influenced by social media. So take some time to practice yoga and meditation and limit our usage of social media. It will be good for our mind.
Yeah. Oh yeah, be good for the whole world.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
But I love how you mentioned that your mom or your sisters are watching you like, oh, that looks so tiring. How do you do it every day? You're so disciplined. You're just sweating. Yeah. It's amazing because when I don't practice for 2 days in a row, or if I'm sick and I can't practice asana or a pranayama practice, because there's a lot of aspects of yoga that even meditation, if you're really sick, it can be very hard to be breathing because your nose is running so much. And I digress. But I'm just saying that when I don't practice for a couple of days, I really feel it mentally. Yeah, exactly. I feel more reactive. I feel more, I don't know, like, it's like itchy. Like you feel like you just need to do it.
Yeah, that I mentioned that I've burned my legs. I'm having an injury on my legs. It was the worst life ever because I couldn't walk. Every time I go anywhere, I need people to help me, and I couldn't practice yoga. At that time, I could just only stay on my bed, like doing very gentle stretches, but I'm glad like pranayama and meditation really helps. Like I'm doing like alternate nostril, all those pranayama, it really centers my mind. Yeah, because if not, my mind will be thinking like, what would happen with my legs? I couldn't do yoga and my legs is getting weaker. All this kind of negative thoughts will be wandering around in your mind. But whenever I'm practicing pranayama, like it centers me and bringing me back. And when that happened, my mind start to change. Like, it's okay. You just need to rest. You need to take time. No need to worry. So I believe that yoga or pranayama is really good for everyone, even you when you are in your adversity. Sometimes it will really helps you.
Yeah, and how did you burn your legs? What happened?
Oh, actually, I was cooking the noodle. I think it's garlic oil noodles. The last part was to let the oil cook, but then I had forgotten that oil is different from water. Water, you will need to boil it up, but oil doesn't boil. So I was looking at the pot. I was like, oh, the oil doesn't burn. Maybe it's not hot enough. I'll change it into a pan because our kitchen is really small. The space, there's a little space at the corner. I shouldn't put the pot on that space, but I put it there. No place to put anymore. So I change it to the pan. And it's just so sudden that outer edge of the pot is just peeled off, and then all the left side of my legs is burned by the hot oil. Yeah, it was terrible. Really a terrible experience. Like, completely into a trauma kind of fear. At that time, my mind is like just blackout. I don't know what happened. Then luckily, my sister and my dad, they hear me screaming in the kitchen. They just ran off and ran out and saw. I told them it was oil. Then they just directly took a cream. The cream actually is a burning cream. It really helps to soothe and cool burnt injury. So my dad took it from the fridge and directly he used up all the cream just to cover all my legs. But after around 2 hours, the pain came back again. So I went back. I believe I couldn't sleep at night if the pain continued. So I decided to go to the hospital. The doctor gave me the strongest painkiller and they wash out the cream and everything, but it was really terrible, a terrible experience.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. That's just awful. So to bring it back to more of a positive thing, so to distract you, because I know you're still healing. I know that's something, yeah. I know it just happened. I'd love to hear from you about how being a yoga teacher, how being a yoga teacher is different than being a yoga practitioner. What can you tell me about that?
Oh, yeah, it is really different because when you are practicing on your own, you just need to focus on yourself. Like, you focus your breath and sometimes you can challenge yourself into different asanas and things. And when you are teaching a student, everything is on them. Like, you have to look at their body. You have to be aware of the space around you. You can see some students, they can't do this, and sometimes they are showing you the tiring face, or sometimes you can feel they are not willing to do this thing, and there's a lot of things happening during that time. And usually when I first started to teach, I feel like so down because I haven't changed from practice into like, you are the teacher. You should be looking around and you are not doing any asana. The student are the one who is doing their asana. You just need to correct them and adjust them. It really takes me like years, like five to six years. You can see I'm doing a lot of teacher training. Just understand how to be a student and understand how to be a teacher, like a good teacher, and understand to be a good student. That's why from there, I started to, came into more understanding, knowledge, how a teacher should be. Whenever I'm teaching, I would separate myself from my poses. Most of the time, I don't practice during when my student is practice. Because if I'm practice, it would be me. But if my student is practice, I will be like looking at them and checking whether they are okay or not. So it's really different settings. A big mind shift.
Yeah, it is a huge mind shift. And I know that a lot of yoga teachers, they can get stuck in demonstrating the yoga poses. Because if you're teaching to beginners and they don't know what tree poses or Trikonasana or Utkatasana, like they don't know. And even if you say, scoop arms up, sit back down, arms go, like they get so confused without the demonstration. So what advice do you give to yoga teachers who are wanting to shift away from doing all the asanas and instead be watching their students and giving verbal instructions? Do you have any good advice for teachers who are trying to make the change?
I think we always have a second plan, because usually you have a plan for beginners, but then you have another plan. The people came, they might be more advanced or much beginner. So you have to plan in mind, like if there's something happened, that's why you have to give different variation. That's why I love universal yoga, because in that yoga teacher training, the teacher gave us options like from beginner, very beginner level to really advanced level. So when the beginner came in, okay, it's a mixed class. Most of our class is like mixed. You cannot be like totally beginner or totally advanced. Teaching yoga actually it's not easy. If you are doing a flow class, because I came from a flow class base, whenever I was teaching asana, because I always need to demonstrate the pose, so I don't have the time to like look at the students. So what I love about Universal Yoga is that there's a lot of more like hatha style, like I can look at everyone. When I just do one pose, I look at them, okay, which is fine. I got that time to look at them. Usually now I teach less of a flow. I teach more like hatha style, so I have time to look at students and I can give different variation and options. Yeah, and I think it's very important to have your regular student in the class, because regulars know your styles, but new beginner student, when they came in, they have no idea what you are teaching about, so they can just look around. Regular student really helps a beginner student, because you're like, okay, sometimes you don't need to demo, you just tell the regulars, okay, you just do this, and then you show it to the newcomers and things like that.
Yeah, when you have regular practitioners in the class with you, it does make it a lot easier, because then they're demoing for the rest of the class, essentially.
Yes. Yes.
So I get what you mean. And so, yeah. Vera, I would love to hear more about Brunei, because I'm sure that some of our listeners maybe haven't heard too much about it before, maybe aren't sure where it is on a map even. Could you tell us more about Brunei, please? We'd love it.
Oh, Brunei actually is located at a big island. It's called Borneo. It's quite near to the Singapore, and Brunei is situated between Sarawak and Sabah, which is the west of Malaysia with Indonesia. So all these three countries became a Borneo. Most of the people who knew Singapore, yeah, they don't know Brunei because it's such a small country and it's located at the Borneo. Yeah, most of the weather of Brunei, it's tropical, like usually it's either hot or rainy seasons. And the people who live in Brunei usually are Malays. They are considered the locals. I would say this is a Muslim country. So yeah, if it's a strict country under Muslim law, and you can't drink, and no alcohol, no cigarettes. But it's a perfect place for people to have family. If you decided to have a bigger family and if you want to have children, this place is really good for education. The health system, like the hospital, it's free if you are Bruneian. Education as well. People who live here is relaxed. They are on their relaxing pace. But I know if you are living outside of Brunei, like if you are living in Singapore or US, when you came into Brunei, you feel like, oh, I got nothing to do. It's too peaceful and there's no entertainment. But so most of our time we spend here is we just do grocery shopping, and then sometimes we go for cafe just for a drink of coffee and then come back. It's such a peaceful place. So there's no entertainment.
No entertainment, yeah. Like no music concerts, no movies?
No music concert. Movies, yes. Movies, yes, but just no drinks, no bar. Yeah. No games, like certain games, like pokers, all those is being forbidden.
Okay, so no gambling, no...
No gambling, alcohol, or cigarettes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a boring country.
I think it sounds very... I love how you described it as peaceful, calm, and tropical, especially when you compare it to your neighbor, Singapore. Yeah, I'm sure that people think, wow, this is
it's
peaceful.
It's less stressful. It's less stressful. Yeah, I believe like Singaporeans, there's a lot of people is doing yoga, but compared to Brunei, because it's such a peaceful country, so most of the people would be preferring like gym work or like cycling. Cycling is really popular here because you have that kind of like disco music and really push their limits, since yoga is such a peaceful pace as well. The people here is so relaxed already.
And so, Vera, if people want to get in touch with you or learn more about your yoga studio, True Harmony, I will make sure to link to your website and to your Instagram in the show notes, as well as on my website, wildyogatribe.com. But do you want to tell them verbally here how and where they can find you?
Yeah, I believe Instagram is fine. Usually they can just text me or email me. I have written all the details actually in my Instagrams as well. Yeah, they can just hit the emails and press the button for WhatsApp. They can connect with me. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. You made it very easy for everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vera, so much for being a guest on the show today and for this beautiful conversation. It has been a joy to be with you.
Yeah, thank you, Lily. Thank you so much for interviewing me. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Vera, a yoga teacher from Brunei, was so fun as we really honed in on what universal yoga really is. And I hope that this conversation made you curious about how universal yoga can come from within while still honoring all the scientific and anatomical approaches there are to the body. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that's all about universal yoga and the difference between being a yoga teacher and a yoga practitioner, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.